You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You're tuned into The Wire. 1 hour of current affairs and analysis starting now.
Tēnā koutou katoa, ko Jemima Houston tōku ingoa, nō mai haere mai ki te wire mō tēnei rā. Kia ora and welcome to The Wire for Tuesday, the 12th of January. My name is Jemima and I'm your host and I'm joined in studio today by Hannah. How's it going?
Kia ora, very good. To be back at BFM.
Back 2021, starting again. The sun is out. Not that we can see it because of the big wall, but
we can see a tiny, tiny glimmer of sun through the little,
which is a nice hope bit. For yeah. The afternoon. A nice walk in the sun. Lovely.
I think I'm going to go to the beach.
Nice. Yay. We have a good show coming up for you today and a good set of shows coming up for you this week as well as The Wire and the news team is back in the building. So get ready for all your news fixes because we're all back and rearing to go. Ifai Akine coming up on the show today following the news regarding the poor water quality of beaches around Auckland and the devastating shark attack in Waihi, I decided to look into how you can make sure you are safe when swimming at the beach this summer. I speak to Surf Life Saving Northern Region's Chief Executive Matt Williams and Land, Air and Water Aotearoa's Can I Swim Here? Science Lead Anna Marsidas-Smith about this. Hannah talks to Council of Trade Unions National Secretary Melissa Ansell-Bridges about the organisation's survey on work-life balance. And finally, Monday Wire producer Anika Mohid has a follow-up piece on her piece that she did yesterday on Waikerea Prison. She speaks to the National Party's corrections spokesperson, Simeon Brown, about the conditions at Waikerea. He aha o whakaaro, we would love to hear your thoughts on any of these pieces. So tuku pātui mai, you can send us through a text on 5395 or Wire Mai Rane, give us a call in studio on 309-3879. It's been a while, so we'd love to hear your voice or hear what you've got to say. So yeah, let us know. Also, after the show, koe e wareware e ahi ana koutou te whakarongo ki ēnei kōrero anō he pakihiri rokiroki maronga i te pai tukutuku o Erarangi Poho, me haere ki 95BFM Irakati.com. You can catch all of these stories and more by podcast on the 95BFM website, as usual, 95BFM.com. Everything is always there that the news does, so check it out if you know that you've got friends that want to listen. Tell them, send them the link, always good. But yeah, let's crack into it. So the first piece today is about the new year starting and summer. So the new year has started. We're in 2021. Summer is here and many Kiwis are spending time outside at their local beach or waterway to stay cool and work on their tan. However, there have already been a number of reports that many beaches around Auckland are polluted and therefore not safe to swim at. Also, a devastating shark attack has also made the headlines within the last week, leaving, I'm sure, many Aucklanders feeling concerned about how to be safe when swimming at the beach this summer. I spoke with Surf Life Saving New Zealand's Northern Region Chief Executive, Matt Williams, about the risks when swimming at the beach. We touch on the shark attack, whether you should swim if there are no flags, and what impact bad water quality can have on surf life saving and swimming safely at the beach. Here is Matt. The beaches of the Auckland and Northern Region have made the news recently, with a number of beaches reported as polluted and unsafe to swim, as well as the devastating shark attack in Waihi a few days ago. The shark attack in Waihi was obviously tragic. Are sharks a common risk when swimming in beaches around Auckland?
No, not compared to the other more prevalent risks we see. Rips, people falling off rocks and getting into trouble. These are still the most prevalent causes of injury and death. And while there's an understandable huge amount of social anxiety, let's call it, around shark attacks or any other marine mammal causing harm, they are still a very low incidence of risk. And what we'll often see is, anecdotally, someone's at the beach really worried about this shark attack while they walk into a rip. And I suppose the message is, yes, there is this underlying risk out there. It is minimal, and we need to take account for it. And that's largely done by lifeguards at patrolled beaches who keep out a watch for sharks or any other marine mammal animals or things that could cause harm. And they act accordingly. They shut the beach. They get people out of the water. They move the flags, etc. And it's also, I suppose, about the public making sure they have some common sense around entering the water. But outside of that, let's not forget what the key risks and the key causes of harm are at our beach. And for the public, you know, that's really simple. Focus on swimming between the flags. Focus on not swimming alone, swimming with others. Keeping your eye on children or vulnerable people around the coast. And we say keeping our eye, but what we really mean is keep them within arm's reach, because we know things can happen very quickly in tidal waters when there's big surf. And those should continue being the key focuses if we want to reduce the risk of harm and injury that occurs and death that occurs at the beach. These are the things that we should be focusing on from a surf life-saving perspective.
Obviously, it's encouraged throughout New Zealand education that people should learn to swim, but often people are learning to swim in controlled environments in a swimming pool inside a building or, you know, even an outdoor swimming pool, which is still a contained piece of water. You know, talking a little bit about people being aware of rips and being aware of the dangers that are in the sea, how can people make sure that they know these sort of things when they go out to swim at the beach? Because it's not the same as swimming in a pool.
That is such a valid point. And you look at where a lot of education is, it's around the pool. But you look at what the Kiwi rite of passages are, where most Kiwis of any age go during the summer, it's at the beach. And how do we prepare the public, new immigrants, children, for that environment? Great question. And there's surf life savings courses that go on through primary schools, which we call beach education or city nippers. There's the opportunity to join a surf club like you would any other sports club, 74 of them across New Zealand. And there's also our kindred groups, Drowning Prevention Auckland, which does a lot of work with new arrivals, recent immigrants, on learning the dangers of the beach. And we also have our Water Skills for Life program from Water Safety New Zealand, which works with partners, anyone who's really in that aquatic space, to develop competencies in and around the coastal waters, or which will support people when they get into coastal waters. For parents that are wanting to engage their children in some of those courses, get in touch with your local surf club, because I really don't think there's enough that can be done to make sure that we have the skills to enjoy our beautiful coastline safely.
If you go down to the beach this summer, and if there aren't surf lifesavers or flags at the beach, should people swim?
So we know that the public is continuing to use different coastal locations. They're exploring more, they're out more, and they're using it earlier in the day and later at the night. And what that means for an organisation which is resourced like Surf Lifesaving is we can't be there at all the times every member of the public would like us to be. That means there's areas of coastline where lifeguards aren't, and there's areas of coastline where lifeguards aren't all the time. And in that circumstance, we have those rules or those principles we try to use to guide safe use. And that's don't swim a surf alone. So if you do get into trouble, someone can see you. If they're really confident in the water, they might be able to aid you. Or in the very least, they can dial 111, ask for police, and effect a rescue. There's the rule that we're going to make sure we know our limits. So if I go to a beach, there's no lifeguards on duty, and I'm feeling a little uncomfortable in my own ability in the water, I'm going to make the choice not to get in. Don't step into that danger and say, actually, if I get into trouble, there's no one there to help me. I think this is a bit beyond my limits, so I'm not going to jump into the water. And the other really important one when we're at beaches without lifeguards is to keep the children or vulnerable persons near to us, because, again, lifeguards have a purpose of supporting people once they get into trouble. If there's no lifeguards there and you've got children at the beach, you're essentially the lifeguard to that child.
Now, something else that is, you know, obviously been in the news and has been reported a lot is the pollution at a number of beaches around Auckland. How does this impact lifeguards and surf lifesaving and safety in the water?
There's that holistic safety element, and it brings me back to conversations that Auckland Council led in 2018 with surf lifesaving. They said, look, we want to make sure that we're showing the public that they can have choices around the beaches they go to and make decisions which mean they can enjoy the coast as safely as possible. And in the Auckland example, that has two factors to it. There's the water quality and there's the physical safety. So we don't want the public to unknowingly go to a beach where they're going to get in trouble in a rip around a headland or with big surf. And equally, we don't want them to walk away with some kind of bacterial infection because of the water quality issues that the city's been facing for some time. And what they had established in 2018 was that we have some legacy issues around our water system, which means the water quality is not at the level which the city and its people want it. And while they're doing some long-term work to increase the water quality and fix that infrastructure, the key outcome which we all supported as a city was to give us the tools to make the decisions so we could look and say, actually, where's going to be safe and where's not going to be safe? Because there's no quick fix to the water quality issue, but there is a quick fix to the asymmetry of information around who knows what water is safe. And what we've currently found ourselves in is in a bit of a privileged position, not just for New Zealand, but worldwide. We can jump onto the SafeZone website and we know where is going to be safe and where is not going to be safe with some state-of-the-art water quality modelling. And right now, I believe Auckland City is the only city in the world where we can confidently say that. Say, look, we know with, you know, above 78% chance what that water quality is going to be like.
Finally, I was wondering whether you could give me a brief, quick, what do New Zealanders need to think about before they head down to the beach to swim this summer?
I'm going to be repeating myself, the golden rules, so I'm happy to say until the day I die. First, let's try swim at a patrolled beach when lifeguards are on, because that maximises our safety. We're going to want to know the beach we're going to and listen to the advice of lifeguards if they're there. Keep children or vulnerable ones within arm's reach if they get in trouble. We're not going to surf or swim alone. We're going to be careful around rocks, because we know we're seeing a lot of danger around those rocks, and we're going to know our limits.
That was Matt Williams from Surf Life Saving New Zealand, the Northern Region, speaking a little bit about how you can stay safe when you're swimming at a beach this summer. We will be right back with more of The Wire after this and with another piece speaking about water quality and safe swimming waters.
Nothing says summer like the smell of sunscreen, a picnic on the beach, crisp salad, succulent dip, and the best organic sourdough either side of the Bombays. Bread and Butter make real sourdough, supporting organic practices with New Zealand-grown grains and the best locally supplied ingredients. Bread and Butter, for bread that's better. Three stores across Auckland, Grayland, Milford and Ponsonby. And coming soon to the Coast Plaza in Whangaparoa. Order online at breadandbutter.nz.
Why is a dog like a tree?
It's 5:45. Go back to bed.
Because both of their barks are rough.
I don't even have work today. Why am I awake?
Waking up with laughter makes your whole day nice.
I'm not laughing.
You'll get it in a minute.
Mornings are no joke. Start your day on the right foot with the 95 BFM Wake Up Call. A smooth tune lovingly selected by Rachel herself every weekday on breakfast. The 95 BFM Wake Up Call. Thanks to Espresso Workshop.
The Billboard Hot 100.
Pitchfork's top 200 songs of the 1990s.
The Rock 2000.
All of them little piss babies, unable to compare to the one show, the only show with the guff to shove it to the man at his house where he lives.
The 95 BFM Top 10. The best show, the best songs, the best hosts. Annabelle and Callum, taking you through the best radio station in the world's toppest top tracks of the week.
The 95 BFM Top 10, 7 to 9 p.m. every Wednesday.
Vote online at 95bfm.com/vote.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Another important consideration when heading out to a beach to swim this summer is the quality of our water. For a scientific's perspective on water quality and how we can determine whether our local beaches, lakes or rivers are polluted or safe to swim at, I spoke with Land, Air, Water Aotearoa's Can I Swim Here science lead, Anna Madaras-Smith. Anna speaks on how water quality is assessed by LAWA, how the public can find information on polluted waterways and what impact potentially toxic algae can have on people and animals. Here is Anna. How is swimming water quality determined?
Okay, so there's a few things that come into play when we talk about whether a site is swimmable or not. Now, these can be things like, is the site clean? Is there litter? Is it accessible to people? The other thing, these are all things that we can typically see, but one of the problems is the site safe for swimming in terms of, is there fecal contamination which can cause illness to people when they swim and obviously ingest a bit of water or it gets over the skin and things like that. These are things that we can't see. They're microbes that are in the water and they can cause illness. The ones that we test for don't actually cause illness in themselves, but they're an indicator that feces has entered the water, and that can be from animal feces, bird feces, human feces sometimes. And how that enters the water is in a number of ways. So during rainfall, which is why we suggest people avoid swimming for 2 to 3 days following a heavy rain, water can come off the land, and you know how you see it sort of dribbling through your gutters? That means that it's taking everything off the land, and that can include things like animal feces, and putting it into the water through the stormwater network. So the stormwater network just goes to your nearest river, stream or beach. These are the things that can cause illness. So what we suggest people do is to jump onto Lawa before they head to a site, because Lawa reports all the information that councils have collected, and it can be anything from every 15 minutes in terms of predicted water quality, like Auckland and Greater Wellington, or it can be weekly physical samples where people go down, take a water sample, and it goes off to the lab to get tested. And so Lawa has the most up-to-date information. That's Land, Air, Water, Aotearoa, lawa.org.nz. So we suggest people log into that and have a look for the local beach that they want to go swim at, and that has all the information you need there.
Is this something that we'll have to deal with forever when it comes to there being reports or going onto the Lawa website and seeing that the water at your local beach is currently not safe to swim in? Is this something that we'll always be looking at, or is there ways in which there is work towards improving water quality around the beaches in Auckland?
That's a really good question. And you know, part of our role is to try and help people identify both areas that are just unsuitable for swimming, or areas that may exceed from time to time and under certain conditions, but also what councils will do is, if an area is a problem site, they will get samples and they will test them to try and identify what the source of material coming in is. So if it's things like bovine or cows, then fencing, planting, that sort of thing will help stop that fecal material from coming into the water. If it's birds, well, there's a bit of an issue there because we have multiple goals for some of our areas. Or if it's human, then it can mean that there are issues with the infrastructure in the area that need to be remedied. So the technology is improving, which allows us to find source and then be able to manage for it in certain areas. Obviously, you know, we live in a country where there is a lot of people next to our coastal areas. There is a lot of rural landscape. So from time to time, areas will exceed. You know, it's likely as in the past. However, when you get that intensification, you certainly can get some of those problems.
I just wanted to talk briefly about toxic algae. What is toxic algae, and how can it be identified, and what happens if you swim with it?
Okay, so potentially toxic algae is a form of cyanobacteria, or it's known also as blue-green algae. And it has sort of two forms when it comes to looking at swimmability and whether it's safe to swim. One is where you get your rivers, and you get those stony bottom rivers, and it can look like almost a mat of velvety black growth over the rocks, and that's known as formidium, or benthic cyanobacteria, so it's on the bottom. Now that can affect rivers, particularly in summer when the water temperature is a bit warmer, the light availability, because of course it photosynthesizes, so the light availability is there, and then you get the regime that will allow it to grow and to bloom. So cyanobacteria is a normal part of an ecosystem. It's a naturally occurring algae, and it's found everywhere from pristine waterways to highly modified waterways. So what you need to do is have a look at some of the videos that are out, and particularly the ones on Lawa under What About My Dog, because part of the problem is it can be unsafe for humans, and it can be unsafe for dogs particularly. The reason it's unsafe for dogs is when it washes up on the side, it gets all musty and smelly. They love the smell, so they pop their nose in, have a little sniff around, and then take a little chunk to eat, and that can be when it produces toxins. Part of the issue is we don't know when or what spurs the mat to produce toxins. So just because it's there doesn't mean it is producing toxins, hence the name potentially toxic algae. So our advice is you have to actually treat it, any kind of occurrence of it, as though it's producing toxins, because we can't tell you. The other form is planktonic or in the water cyanobacteria, and that's where you get lakes that have that sort of pea soup kind of colour, or it could be quite brown, and that is a free floating algae that's just using the sun to reproduce and gain energy. And when they have, when it gets into favourable conditions, it can bloom. Again, it can produce toxins, particularly when that bloom dies off. So you're best to avoid swimming and look for signs. Look for signs at the site or on Lawa that let you know whether or not there has been an occurrence of potentially toxic algae at that site.
So the big takeaway is to make sure that you check the Lawa website before you go to your local beach, your local waterway. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We've tried to put as much information on there as possible to help people to make their own decisions, because water quality changes. And so just because the site was sampled on Monday and it was green, if it's rained for 2 or 3 days and rained heavily, on Thursday it may no longer be suitable for swimming. So we have a little icon that comes up with raindrops, and it says, hey, look, conditions may have changed since we sampled. So even though we sampled on Monday when it was green, so green being good to go, in the meantime, between now and then, we've had a heap of rain and it's changed, you know, things may have changed at this site. And we're just trying to let people know, have a look around. If you can see things, some of the things that might say, hey, it's probably not best not to swim here today, is if the water's discoloured, if you can see a lot of stock or animals or stormwater outlets directly into, maybe just move away. And that just helps people to identify some of these things before they go for a swim. But also, don't be afraid. You know, the water quality at most of New Zealand's beaches, lakes, rivers is really good. You know, particularly our coastal beaches. The rivers can be more influenced by rainfall, and lagoons a little bit more because they're warmer and they sort of tend to slow down a bit. But we've got some great swimming spots, and it's just a matter of just checking in, making sure that there's nothing you need to know before you go.
That was Lawa's Can I Swim Here science lead, Anna Madaris-Smith, speaking on water quality at Auckland beaches. A couple of resources that were mentioned in these last two pieces on swimming safely this summer that I want to reiterate are, firstly, the Land Air Water Aotearoa website, www.lawa.org.nz, which connects you with New Zealand's environment through sharing scientific data. Hit the Can I Swim Here link and you will get regularly updated water quality data for your local waterway where you want to swim. The website also will tell you whether waterways are safe for your dog when it comes to potentially toxic algae. The website mentioned in the interview before that with Surf Life Saving New Zealand's Matt Williams is safeswim.org.nz, which is an Auckland Council website and allows you to navigate the swimmability of beaches around Auckland when it comes to water quality and pollution. We will be right back after this, but here is Slide Away by Verve. You're listening to The Wire on 95 BFM.